Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Do you have the text in your phone, sir?
What?
Yeah, her text with you.
No, I have a new phone since then.
Everybody has. Yeah. My litigants change phones like I change underwear. I've never seen anything like it. Every time I ask for proof of something, it's out.
New phone.
This is the plaintiff, Tavares Brown. He says the defendant is the father of his girlfriend's three-year-old child, and the maniac got him arrested by lying to the cops. The defendant told him he pulled a gun on him. He was arrested, put through the system, and ultimately found not guilty. This whole ordeal has cost him a lot of money, and he's suing the defendant for the $5,000 he's out due to the defendant's lies. This is the defendant, David Thompson. He says the plaintiff most definitely pulled a gun on him, pointed it at him, and asked him if he wanted to fight or get shot. He promptly went to the cops. The plaintiff was arrested, and now he's being sued here for $5,000 by the temperamental guy, police. He's accused of making up a big lie. The defendant is filed a countersuit for $5,000 for pain and suffering.
All parties, please raise your right hand.
What you are about to witness is real. The participants are not actors. They are actual litigants with a case pending in civil court. Both parties have agreed to drop their claims and have their cases settled here before Judge Marilyn Million in our forum, the People's Court.
You see it? Come to order, please. Litigants have been sworn.
Thank you, Douglas.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, Tavares Brown, you are suing David Thompson for $5,000 in damages that you say you incurred when he falsely accused you of pulling a gun out on him. Tell me what happened. You are counterclaiming him $5,000 for pain and suffering. What happened?
It was Memorial Day of 2015. Me and my girlfriend was getting ready for our day because we were going to go to our mother's house to a barbecue or whatever. And the defendant, I guess her and him established that they were going to exchange the child for Memorial Day for the holiday.
You have a child with him?
I do.
Okay. How old's the child?
He's three.
Okay. So does he regularly visit the child?
Yeah. Well, at the time, we weren't really seeing eye to eye. So this was the first time I allowed him to come over my place to pick the child up.
All right. So what happened?
Well, you agree with him to
come pick up the child?
Yes.
And he has a conversation with you and he tells you what about him?
Well, over the phone, he just pretty much told me to make sure that he was not present when
he being Mr. Brown.
Mr. Brown.
Your
present,
boyfriend.
Yes. When he got there. Or else
what?
There would be some words exchanged or they were going to fight or...
Why?
Personally, what I feel is it boiled down to me.
Trying to get back with you?
At the time, that's what I felt. Yeah. Boiled down to me and...
it sounds like a good idea for you not to be out there. So did you follow that advice or did you go out there?
I was out there, but it wasn't for that reason.
What were you out there for?
I was outside getting the car seat, and he pulled up as I was getting the car seat out of the car.
You took the car... No, it's not your turn.
I took the car seat...
You took the car seat out and did what with it?
And sat it and placed it next to his vehicle. And as we went outside, I was outside talking to her cousin. And we were having a conversation, and as her and him was exchanging the son, I saw him, like, creeping up on her, saying little small stuff to her.
Okay, so what'd you do?
I didn't do anything. I ignored the fact that he was even exchanging words with my girlfriend.
So what happens that goes wrong? Something goes wrong, right? Because we're here.
We started exchanging words.
Oh, what were the words?
he was telling me, he was asking me what was I looking at, and I don't need to look at him, and I don't even need to be outside and all the stuff like that. And I'm telling him, like, how you gonna come to my house and tell me that I don't have to be outside of my residence where I pay bills at? You can't come to my residence and tell me I can't be outside. So, and my girlfriend was telling him that he could be outside. He don't have to go in the house.
Wouldn't it have been a better idea to just drive to the nearest McDonald's and transfer the child there?
It would have.
Okay. Go on.
So,
When we have advance notice that the whole thing is going to, but it's kind of delicious to have two guys fighting for you, right?
No.
Okay, so go ahead.
So I continue to ignore the fact that he was still trying to come at me.
How were you ignoring it? You said you guys were having words.
My girlfriend was telling me to stop talking to him and don't say anything. Just leave it alone because he already said that
then,
it was going to be a problem. So I told her that, okay, he got his son. Let's just go ahead and go on about our day. Let's go. Let's get in the car. So as we walked over to our car, he was still saying things, small things to my girlfriend.
Did you guys fight?
No.
Okay, when does he leave?
After we pulled off.
After you what?
After we pulled off from
our
house.
How long later was that?
When we pulled off, he pulled off immediately behind us, speeding, tailgating us, swerving through the lane.
Did you call the police?
He called the police.
Okay, but why weren't you calling the police if he's swerving with your kid in the car?
The reason I didn't call...
Because they had a gun.
I'm not talking to you.
The reason I didn't call is I was given the benefit of the doubt.
The guy's following you and swerving with your kid in the car. How much benefit are you going to give the guy before he kills your kid? I mean, I don't understand. If the story's the way you say, I don't understand. So what happens? He calls the police and what happens?
I guess he called the police and told them that I pulled a gun out on him.
Ah, all right. And then what happens? You got arrested.
Yes, I did. I ended up getting
a... Did you pull a gun out on him?
No.
All right, so you end up posting money for bond, $1,500.
Yes, ma'am.
And you ended up losing that. Why?
Because the victim claimed that I called his phone.
Did he have any proof of it?
The proof that he brought into court was the call log from my girlfriend's phone number.
Right.
Outgoing to his phone number.
Did you call him?
I did. He actually did call him. That's why his bond was revoked.
He did call him?
He did call.
So he's lying?
Well, he called, and it was partially my fault as well, because I was exchanging texts. We were texting back and forth.
Okay.
And with me knowing the situation, I probably shouldn't have. I mean, it wasn't anything major.
Okay, so you're exchanging texts saying what to each other?
To be honest, it wasn't anything.
Does anybody have the text?
No.
Do you have the text in your phone, sir? Her text with you.
No, I have a new phone since then.
Yeah, everybody has a new phone.
Yeah.
My litigants change phones like I change underwear. I've never seen anything like it. Every time I ask for proof of something, it's out
new
with
phone.
Phones. Okay. So he called him and said, what, stop texting you?
Yeah, pretty much just stop
communicating. But there was a stay away order, right, issued at the bond?
There was.
So why would you do that?
Anger.
Yeah. All right, so your bond got forfeited, but you want him to pay it because you forfeited your bond. Got it. That's the $1,500 you're suing for. Then the car and the items forfeited in storage are for what? Because you started to get into financial difficulty as a result of the bond getting revoked and paying for a lawyer and everything else, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Right. I mean, I can understand your suit. If your premise is I never pulled a gun at him and he made it up, that's fine. And as a matter of fact, you went to trial.
Yes.
Yes.
How'd the trial go?
I got found not guilty.
You got found not guilty. All right. So now you are suing for any of the things that you came into financial difficulty for. And I understand money you expended as a result of the trial. I get that. But stuff because you're living paycheck to paycheck, that kind of stuff is just your problem. It's not the other side's problem. Pain and suffering, I get. Cost to expunge record. Do you have any priors?
Yes.
How many?
About 3 or 4.
And what are they for? Any of them gun related?
No, ma'am.
Do you own a gun?
No.
Okay. Mr. Thompson, what's going on? What happened that day?
I was supposed to go pick my son up. He was like standing around looking crazy and stuff. So I'm like, well, what's the problem? And that's how it escalated from that point. And that's when we got into the altercation. You know,
Well, why couldn't you just get your child and go?
Because he was out there.
So what? Everybody have to play Kianis Rasmacha?
Right.
I asked him those questions. I asked him, what the heck are you doing out there? I'm asking you the same.
It's not about being in charge.
Oh, it is. That's how you all find yourself here. So you get there, and what happens?
I told him, I basically told him, you know, I whoop his ass, you know what I'm saying? Like, outside of everything else, I whoop your ass.
Over,
you know?
What? The fact that he's standing in front of his house. What were you saying? I'm going to whoop your ass. Why?
It basically got to the point where I asked him if, you know, if it was a problem, if he wanted to do anything about it. And they were getting ready to leave. And as he was approaching his car, he opened his car door. He reached inside of his car and he got out a handgun. And I'm not lying about that. I even agreed to take a polygraph test.
Okay, so he pulls out a gun, and this is at the house.
This is where I went to pick my son
at the house. Yeah. Okay, and then he does what with the gun?
He points at him. He says, now what do you want to do?
I'm sorry. Did anybody else see the gun being pulled out besides you?
Just me and him. She couldn't even see the gun.
How could she not see it?
Because his back was turned to her. And he pulled it out.
Welcome back to the People's Court, Harvey Levin here. So how do two parents who really dislike each other, how do they handle passing a child back and forth with custody?
You really need a third party to get involved, either a family member or the police station or something, just so the kids, you know, less conflict on the kids, the better. Really.
But is it possible that parents who hate each other can put their differences aside?
Yes.
And for the kid?
Yes, I feel like they should for the kid, just for the kid's sake, because, I mean, they should care enough about their child.
Do you think it happens a lot that parents are so disruptive because they hate each other that the kid gets damaged?
Yes, I do feel that happens often. I think that family counseling would help, and I think it should be mandated by the court.
Even if they've broken up?
Yes, even if they've broken up.
Interesting. Okay, going inside the courtroom.
So they tried the case.
Yeah, they tried the case.
And did anyone else besides the three of you testify?
No, it was just us. It was like two against one.
And then what happened? He gets acquitted.
He gets acquitted.
And you get sued.
And I get sued. But my thing is, that vehicle that he's claiming I have something to do with, she legally sold that vehicle. I have audio recording of her saying she sold his vehicle.
What, you're saying what happened with the car?
My car got towed.
Okay, but why does he have to pay for your car? I'm trying to understand what you're...
No, I mean, because of the simple fact that if I wouldn't have been in jail, I would have been out to be able to fix whatever was on my car from sitting on the side of the road.
And so he has to pay for the value of your car because your car ended up getting towed? Because you got a bunch of tickets?
For him putting me in that position of...
But she wasn't in jail. Why didn't she move your car?
Okay, I was actually driving the car.
Did it get towed?
Yeah.
Why did it get towed?
Because the radiator blew and it was sitting on the side of the road. So the sheriff's department, you can't just leave a car on the side of the road.
I meant, couldn't you pay, you know, $60 for a tow to a place where you then park it?
Oh, no. Financially, I was not in a position to pay for the car to get towed.
Did you end up selling the car?
No.
Okay. And according to you, you have an audio of
would
her.
Would you like to hear it?
Yes, I would.
First of all, man. What did you ever do with the car? Did it get towed or did you sell it? What happened?
I sold it. I scrapped it.
You scrapped it? Oh, well, I don't know.
You need to hear anything else as far as the car?
Yeah, she scrapped it. What does that mean?
The car is actually still sitting there. They're holding the car until we're able to pay to get it out.
Okay, so why are you saying that you scrapped it?
Well, the car got towed. It was.
That's not the same as scrapping it. Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird. wow. So here's where the problem lies, okay? He may very well have made this up and cost you some money. But I have a bad vibe because he seems so angry in here that I think you're right. There's a dynamic still. I also happen to think there's a dynamic from you too. I think there's, forgive me for saying it, but there's some women who kind of like the tension. It makes them feel special.
Uh-huh.
I don't know whether you pulled a gun out him on or not. The problem that you have is that there was a prosecutor involved here. This isn't him suing you civilly and making it all up and he can just pull, he's a puppeteer who can pull everything. There is a prosecutor who looked at it and believed him, and the government actually put their money behind a prosecution because they believed him. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's kind of hard for you to prove that he made the whole thing up, which is what you have the burden of proving while you're in here, okay? So, and what's your pain and suffering lawsuit against him? What's that about? Because you're just as guilty of trying to up the ante.
I've been through quite a bit with this kid. It's been a long 7 months. dealing with this. I've lost time at work.
Can I make a suggestion? What you need to do is the transfer of this child needs to occur in a third-party location or through a third party. But everybody here needs to avoid contact between the two of these folks. Everybody here is just itching to be a news item. Everybody. How old is this child?
He's three.
Nobody cares about the child. Everybody cares about showing that they're the bigger macho. Cut it out. And you figure out a way to respect him, have civil discourse with him, but not cross the lines that kind of I have the feeling you're crossing, okay? Just figure it out, what your intents are, and make sure that there is a third party or third location transfer for the child. The key is in your hands first and then your hands second. Verdict for the defendant on your lawsuit against him, verdict for the plaintiff on your lawsuit against him.
So it's a wash. All right, so step on in the hallway here. Come on up here. What's your reaction to what the judge just had to say to you, both?
Well, you know, everything happens for a reason. I believe justice was served and...
She gave you the first responsibility to lower the temperature in this whole situation.
She did.
What are you going to do about it?
Everything she said was absolutely right. I mean, I have been going and doing the right thing.
You don't love the drama here?
I actually don't. It may seem like I do, but I really don't. Mm-hmm. So.
Because there's a responsibility on your part to bring peace,
right?
You know, here between all these parties.
Right.
So something worse doesn't happen.
Right. You're absolutely right.
And you're going to take that responsibility seriously?
I am. Yes.
All right. Around the corner this way. Officer McIntosh, please. All right. So step on in here and tell me what's going through your mind here now this is over.
Well, nothing much. I'm just glad to have it over. It's been a long 7 months. I've been running down with this kid about him pointing a gun at me. So I'm just ready to be through with it. It's over.
Are you madder at him?
I'm not mad.
Or at her?
I'm actually disappointed in the legal system. You know what I'm saying? That the fact that this kid can get away with something like that and still, you know, attempt to sue me.
Well, now you're in the situation that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on between you and the mother of your son. You got to get along. You willing to lower this temperature?
We get along just fine. We get along just fine. Like today, everything is fabricated. But when it comes to me and her, we cool.
All right, good luck. Good luck. Right this way. Harvey?
Okay, well, my only advice is that when two parents don't get along, it's a bad idea for either of those parents to have their significant others around when the other parent shows up. And that will do it for this case. Litigants for the next case on the way into the courtroom right now.
This is the plaintiff, Armin Manassian. He says he sold a car to the defendant, and she still owes him money, refuses to answer his calls for payment, and he's tired of waiting around for the cows to come home. He's suing here and now for the $10,000 he's seeking, $675 for the car, and $9,325 for punitive damages, time, and aggravation. This is the defendant, Elizabeth Marie Reyes. She says she paid for the car in full. And for some reason, the plaintiff's trying to trick her into paying additional monies. The man's a car shark who's preying on her because she's not that business savvy and saw her coming from a mile away. Besides, who sues for 10 grand on a dispute over a few hundred bucks? A wham-bam con man, that's who. She's accused of trying to pay less. The defendant has filed a countersuit for $675 for misrepresentation.
All parties, please use your right hands.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Next case in the docket, the plaintiff sold the car to the defendant and got stiffed by the defendant, says she paid in full and he's trying to cheat her. It's the case of Car Shark.
Thank you, Douglas. Okay, Armin Manassian.
Yes,
you are suing Elizabeth Marie Reyes for $10,000, $675 that you say she owes you, and the rest of it to punish her for not paying you what she owes you. That's interesting. Let me hear from you first. Tell me what's going on.
Your Honor, I agreed to sell this car to the defendant, and apparently she didn't have sufficient funds in order to purchase the car.
What is your profession?
I'm a car dealer, Your Honor.
All right, but you were selling this car personally?
Yes, because I liked the car so much, I put it in my own name.
Okay, so the car was in your name?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, and then what happens?
I didn't need the car anymore, and I placed an ad. She answered the ad. She came over, saw the car, fell in love with the car, rant and raved. What kind of car was this? It was a 2004 Lexus ES330.
Okay, and then what happens?
We test drove the car, had an extensive conversation. She agreed to purchase the car. She didn't have the funds with her. We agreed that she would return the following day.
What was the asking price of the car?
I don't recall the exact price, Your Honor. I believe it was $8,200.
How did you find the car?
Through Craigslist.
Craigslist? Do you have the ad from Craigslist?
I did not get a copy of the ad.
Do you remember how much it was for sale in the ad?
$8,500 or best offer.
$8,500 or best offer. All right, and then what happens?
We agreed that she would return the following day, Your Honor. And I believe she showed up with both of her daughters. We had a very pleasant experience. She looked over the car again. I made sure and I made certain to keep it an arm's length transaction because the car was in my private name. And
I don't know what that means. What do you mean by keep it an arm's length transaction?
I just prefer to keep things legitimate, keep things at an arm's length transaction.
Because anybody, any human can sell their own car. Do you have the title?
Yes,
or a copy of the title that you got?
His name isn't on it.
That doesn't look like a title. I don't know. I've been doing this long enough to know that's... Come here. Where's the... Do you have a copy of the title? This is the...
This is what I received in the mail after I
purchased it. And the seller here is listed as V Motors, which could only happen if the title was under V Motors. So how did the title get under V Motors?
It was my name and another company that I own as the lien holder, Your Honor.
I don't like to be taken as a fool, so I really need you to explain to me the real business reason for you to want V Motors to do this. So what is the business reason?
A wholesaler is not allowed to sell directly to the public.
So there are rules that involve wholesalers that prevent you from selling to the public your own private car?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so you get V Motors involved and you pay them $250 for the privilege. How much did you sell the car to her for?
I believe $8,200, Your Honor.
Did he sell you the car for $8,200?
We came to an agreement of $8,200.
Okay.
That was absolutely all the money I could come up with for the vehicle at the time that I purchased it from him, and I told him that.
Okay.
When he started going on with the list of all this stuff that he wanted me to pay him back for.
Wait, separate from the $8,200?
My understanding was it was all going to be a part of the $8,200.
Do you have a bill of sale that says $8,200, or you just have
that
this bill of sale?
That's where I screwed up, because I didn't get a receipt from him when I gave him the money.
Are you kidding me?
No. Yeah.
You handed over $8,200 and didn't
get a receipt? I was really stuck on stupid that day, obviously. I was really starstruck with this car.
This must have been the hottest car ever. You must have been just so scintillated by that car that you just ceased to exercise the connections in your brain cells.
Yes, and my husband told me the same thing, too.
What, was your husband there during the transaction?
No, he wasn't.
Because I read in your answer to the complaint that you kind of went into his account and took the rest of the money that you needed without telling him. So was there, he doesn't know how much you paid?
No, he didn't find out.
He's gonna know now.
He didn't find out until the last minute.
Okie dokie. All right, so now why is there, if she paid $8,200, please explain to me why there is a contract that says that she paid $7,675.
She was short the full amount.
What did she pay you?
It was $8,200 less the $675, which off the top of my head would be $7,400 and change, Your Honor.
Incorrect, but go ahead.
And so I made her sign the promissory note, and I have over...
Okay, show me the promissory note that she signed. What is your version
Here's
of what happened?
Here's the deal.
Okay, do you believe that this woman paid $8,200 cash and didn't get a receipt?
I can't believe that. It's just, you just don't hand over that much cash and not get any verification that you gave it to him.
Is there any way that she should be believed if that happened?
No, I don't think
so. She's out of luck?
She's out of luck.
Okay, can I use the S word? Is she stupid?
Yes, definitely.
If she paid it, or maybe she's just trying to get over, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Which is it, stupid or trying to get over?
Stupid, definitely.
Oh, I see a get over. Interesting. Going inside the courtroom.
I purchased the car the same day that I came and test drove it. That's why my daughter is here. I had given him $100 earlier that afternoon when I test drove the car. So I went to the bank, got the money, came
what
back.
Money?
$8,100.
Okay.
I gave him, counted it out in front of my daughter.
Come on up, daughter.
Counted out the money to him.
22.
Gave him $8,200. We went in, we
Did
purchased
you watch
the car.
Count?
Yeah. I counted the money myself, too.
How much was it?
$8,200. Well, $8,100.
Why did you sign a promise? Why did you sign
I don't
a promise
know why I did that.
Well, no, I mean, you can't, you know, that's kind of a hard pill
well,
for me
at the
to
time,
swallow as well.
When we went over this whole thing at the Jersey Mike's where I met him, I said, well, I was going to offer you $75. I can't give you any more than that. Then we went around and around, and he told me about all this stuff that he did to the car prior to
me
buying
that.
It.
I have receipts for all of that, Your Honor.
And he said he had receipts. He never showed me receipts. And then I said, okay, to be fair with you.
What is this?
Let's kind of come
to. Wait a minute. What is this? A paper bag?
Yes. If you flip it around to the other side there, you'll see. He just was telling me that the price for all the stuff that he had done to the car was $675. I felt like, okay, the car was really worth it. I agreed to give him the $8,200.
Do you have any proof that you went to the bank to pull that money out of your husband's account without him knowing? Or that your joint account without
I
him knowing?
Don't have it with me.
Why would you not have it with you?
I know.
Because you yourself said that you were supposed to be paying $8,200. Mm-hmm. So why did you sign paperwork that said it was $7,675?
That's what I don't know why I did that.
All right.
I know, I don't understand why I did a lot of things that I did, because I am not stupid, but I was really stuck on stupid that day for some reason about this darn car.
Well, was the $675 part of the $8,200 and she was shy it?
Yes, ma'am. That's why I went to the bank. I got the cash. And
do you have proof that you got cash from the bank? Text, bank records, anything.
The text says to pay you with, but trust me, I will keep my word.
Give me that.
There's also a message in there where I finally wrote him back and said, hey, wait a minute.
You think with some of that $8,200 you could buy a new screen?
That was a picture taken of a broken phone that I dropped, Your Honor.
Oh, got it. You say repeatedly, trust me, I will keep my word, yada, yada, yada. I need more time, but trust me, I will keep my word.
Well, I had 90 days.
I'm aware. That's why I asked for time.
And then if you continue on, it goes to where I finally realized, hey, wait a minute. What about the $525 that I gave you when we purchased the car?
$525?
Yes. I gave him $8,200. $7,675 minus $8,200 is $525.
Okay. Let's assume for a moment that you were... Here's what's happened. You agree that the purchase price of the car was $8,200. What do I do with this? You want me to believe that you signed a promissory note saying, I'm gonna still owe you $675, and then you paid him in full? Why would you sign that you owe another $675 and spend a month saying you're gonna pay it?
No, I agreed to pay him that $675 because that's the work that he had done on the car. I thought I was gonna
and
be fair.
And then $8,200 to buy the car.
No.
No? Well, then why'd you shell out $8,200?
I didn't.
On your counterclaim against him, you have a counterclaim against him for $675?
For misrepresentation for the $675 he's claiming I
but
owe
you
him
didn't,
because
but
I
But even
paid
you
him.
Don't say that you overpaid by $675. Yeah. On your counterclaim, zero. On his claim against you, I find in favor of the plaintiff in the amount of the $675. Okay. That's my judgment.
Okay. Thank you.
$675 goes over to the plaintiff, the defendant right here. Your story's all over the place, you know, filled with apologies and mistakes and no evidence.
Well, I did not agree to buy the car for $8,200 plus an additional $675. I felt, if anything, I only owed him $150 because he had gotten
Look back at this whole transaction. Why did you get a receipt when you pay money? All those things.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, what were you thinking?
I wasn't thinking. I just...
All right, think next time, okay?
I know.
All right.
Thank
All right,
you.
Follow Officer McIntosh around the corner here. All right, step on in here. What do you have to say about this?
Unfortunately, no good deed goes unpunished.
I mean, for a very honest guy, why do you look so shady?
Well, because she explained to me she was disabled. She explained to me that she was having financial troubles.
That's why you look so shady? And trying to sue for $10,000? What?
Well, this has been going on for a very long
really?
Time.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
How do you think that looks?
It doesn't matter to me how it looks. It's how I feel. It's the truth.
Harvey?
Okay, Kurt, you know, this is pretty simple. You do not get punitive damages for breach of contract. You only get it for personal injury, things like that. And that will do it for this case. Litigants for the next case on the way into the courtroom right now.
This is the plaintiff, Jason Leon. He says he gave the defendant a deposit for a room he was renting, but the guy never gave him the keys and then just dropped off the face of the earth. He's not going to get away with ripping him off to the tune of the $700 he gave him, and that's why he's suing the con man in this court today. This is the defendant, Ben Timothy. He says the plaintiff called him and told him he couldn't move into the room for a few days because he was having some baby mama drama. Then he was the one who dropped out of sight, and he didn't hear anything from him for 2 months. The plaintiff rents a room from him, then disappears for 2 months, and now wants his deposit back? Ha, ha, ha! He's accused of disappearing on deposit. The defendant has filed a countersuit for $2,100 for 3 months of rent.
All parties, please raise your right hand.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Next case in the docket, the plaintiff says he gave the defendant $700 for an apartment and never even got the keys. But the defendant says it's the opposite. The plaintiff just disappeared. It's the case of, so who's the Houdini?
Thank you, Douglas. Jason Leon, you are suing Ben Timothy for $700, the amount of a deposit that you put on an apartment that you were not able to move into. You say it's his fault. You say he disappeared. Okay, you have a counterclaim against him for $2,100 for 3 months of rent because, according to you, I guess you couldn't rent it out for those 3 months? All right. Let's start with you, Mr. Leon. What happened?
Okay, I was looking for a room back in the month of October. I happened to come across his room on Craigslist, and I called them up immediately. I went to go see the room, and I liked the room. I told him that I wanted it, and I told him whenever he was ready to pick up a security deposit, he'd come pick it up. So he came to my job, picked it up, and he told me he wasn't sure if I was gonna be able to move in either the 1st or the 15th, because he wasn't sure if his room was gonna be out on time, but he'll keep me posted and let me know.
Okay.
Now, on November 3rd, I still haven't heard from him, so I gave him a call to try to find out what's going on, like as far as to the room. He had told me that his roommate already had moved out, but he didn't have the key, because his old roommate hasn't given him the keys back. But he had told me he was gonna make me a set of keys and he was gonna come drop it off that same day. He was like, all right, I'll make you a set of keys, your own keys, and I'll drop it off.
All right, so go ahead.
So I had told him I was a little short that day because I thought I was gonna be moving on the 15th. I was a little short, but he could start
short. Short what? Money?
On the money.
Because you needed to pony up how much more?
I needed to pony up $100 more.
Had you already paid $700 or no?
I paid the $700 security deposit.
Okay, and then he's supposed to come pick up the $600 and give you
a set of keys.
He goes through the trouble of making because
he was going to make them.
And what happened on that day?
He told me fine. He was going to come drop the keys and pick up that money, and I told him I was going to give him the rest of the money when the day that I move in, which is going to be the following day. Now, the following
day was going to be what
the
day?
The 4th.
The 4th, okay.
The 4th. Now, the following day, I haven't heard from my phone. My phone had cracked the screen, so I couldn't really see, so I didn't have his number to get in contact and to find out what's going on. Like, so I went back on Craigslist. When I went on Craigslist, the ad was still there. I got his phone number, and I tried calling him from my girlfriend's phone.
Now, you're talking about the day after he doesn't show up to get the $600 and give you a key.
That's correct.
All right? And that day is what day?
This is the 4th. I called him from my girlfriend's phone to let him know that my dad...
Did you bring your girlfriend's phone here?
No, she didn't come.
How are you going to prove that you called him from your girlfriend's phone? Okay, go on. See, you know, this is what's critical. Because you're going to say he disappeared, he's going to say you disappeared. How do you think I'm going to take care of this? I'm going to try to figure out who is the Houdini here disappearing. Okay, that's how it's going to be. So when you say I called him from my girlfriend's phone, give me your girlfriend's phone here so that I can see that you called him from your girlfriend's phone. Or bring me your girlfriend's phone records or something. You know, anyway, go ahead.
So I tried calling him. I left him a voicemail to let him know that my phone was broken. And he never responded. Later on that week, like 2 days later, I went to his house. I rang the doorbell.
Day did you go to his house?
This was the 6th or 7th. I went to his house and I rang the doorbell. Now, when I went to, I rang the doorbell a couple of times. I heard no answer. When I went to work, I went to my job. I called him from my job phone. He still didn't pick up the phone. Now,
do you have those phone records?
No, I don't have those phone records. I didn't think I was going to need them.
When you say I didn't think I was going to need them, what do you think is going to happen here? You're going to flap your gums, he's going to flap his gums, and I'm going to flip a coin?
I mean, the only thing I brought with me was the texts that I got from my
All right, we'll get to that. Maybe that'll do it. Go ahead, go on.
Now, later on that week, I called him one more time from my girlfriend's phone. He still didn't pick up, so now I had to go back on Craigslist and try to find another room. I happened to find another room around the 12.
Okay. All right,
now, I moved in. I didn't call him from that those 15 days from the 12 until the beginning of
December.
What
are you doing for a phone from the 4th and through the 12th?
I had to send it in.
Okay, so you had no phone from the 4th through the 12th. Do you have your phone records?
I don't have.
You don't even have your own phone records?
Wait, those are the ones I saved.
So I can read the text?
Yeah.
You have your phone. Okay, hand me the phone. What's going on here? He says that you just got lost, that no one knew how to reach you. He kept trying from different numbers and that you were just nowhere to be found. And meanwhile, the guy didn't get his key. You didn't pick up the money. And why should you be able to keep the $700? What say you?
We never actually spoke on the phone. We just texted, and I have all the text messages if you need
it. What do you say happened here?
As a good
faith. He was supposed to be able to move in November 1st, right?
Yes.
And what happened on November 1st?
I was supposed to go give him the keys, but something happened. I had to go bring my siblings back home. So I texted him, which you will see, and I told him, okay, you come anytime you want, and he never came.
According to you, what does he respond?
He said he was having trouble with his baby mother.
Were you having trouble in the first few days with baby mama?
I didn't have any troubles with it. I just had to lend him some money.
That's what he texted. Okay. That's what he texted me. So
right. Okay. So go on.
And then I said, okay, well, whenever you're ready, just let me know. I'll be here. Just contact me.
And then what happened?
Never heard from him again.
And then never heard from him again.
Never heard from him.
So the last time you heard from him was what day, according to you?
I want to say the 3rd. The 3rd, November 3rd.
Other defendants.
This is the cracked screen you were talking about?
No, that just happened recently.
You cracked. How many times you get cracked your screen? Why don't you put a darn cover on it and then this won't happen? What are you, my kids?
So who's flakier, landlords or tenants? What do you say?
It depends. It could be either one.
Well, but if you had to guess one, landlords flakier, tenants flakier?
Tenants, I suppose.
Because?
Because they're there temporarily and they don't have any ownership.
Fair point.
I think landlords, they like to collect the rent, but they don't want to deal with, they don't want to be dealt with the business.
Spoken like a true tenant, right?
Yes.
Okay, going inside the courtroom.
Here's how it goes. November 1st, the plaintiff sends the defendant a text saying, so? The defendant responds, dude moved out, you good to come in. So when would I be getting the keys? When I see you, when we meet. Hey, bro, so sorry, get held up. This is you talking. Yesterday, long story short, had car issues, was supposed to bring my siblings home yesterday to Philly and come back, but couldn't. I was stuck outside all night. I'm around all day. We'll bring them tomorrow. My bad. Everything's fine at this point, November 3rd, because he says, I don't know. Tell me what's best. That's when you tell him I'm short on my rent. My BM was bugging me yesterday. So if you want to wait a couple of days, I got you. End of December, you text him, I don't know what's going on from you, but I've been reaching out to you for a little bit now, no response back. Please call me back ASAP, let me know what's going on. Okay, unfortunately, I'm gonna have to take this matter to court. I'm just back in the States, who is this, you ask? This is Jason. And then you respond, Jason, who was supposed to move in November? Yep. And you're like, I took the room offline for you. The security deposit was to secure the room for you, so I wouldn't rent it out to anybody. That's what the deposit is for. And they're non-refundable, especially after a month. If you were not interested in moving, you shouldn't have given a deposit if you weren't serious. I can't hold the room for someone on promises, hence a security deposit. Well, he doesn't sound like a guy who you couldn't reach. He sounds like a guy who's stunned that you surfaced. So you're gonna have to pony up some proof that you tried to reach him and couldn't. Otherwise, that's his $700, honey. And the text goes on for like 8 pages because he's so irate. Did you think I would hold the room till January and then give the deposit back? That makes no sense. Who's going to pay the other part of the rent while it's vacant? I can't afford that. I had no more guarantee. I rented it out in December. Oh, so why are you suing then for lost rent in December and January if you're saying you rented it out in December in this text? Liar. Nice try. My job isn't to take your money, especially when you know where I live. That's dumb. But the deposit is non-refundable. Last I heard from you, you said your baby's mother was tripping about money, so you wouldn't be able to give first month's rent until later that week to move in, and I never heard from you again. I'm satisfied. All right. Now, in this countersuit, first of all, let's talk about your suit against him. The only way you would be entitled to get that back is if he stopped you from moving in. And I do not get that flavor. Because you do not have one scintilla of proof other than your flapping gums that you tried to reach him. and couldn't. So based on the evidence you have presented, you are not entitled to that $700 back. You have a counterclaim against him for $2,100 because according to you, it was vacant November, December, and January. Number one, it's a month-to-month lease. You're not entitled to December and January, not the least, and for many reasons, not the least of which is that in your text, you say you rented it out in December. So on your counterclaim against him, zero. On his claim against you, zero. Good luck, gentlemen.
Zero, zero. It's a tie. What's your reaction to the outcome?
I mean, I think it's still not fair, but I mean, I guess I didn't have enough proof. I mean, I thought one day it was more important, I guess, from my girlfriend's phone.
It really looked like, from the testimony, from his response to the text, that you were the one who dropped off the face of the earth there for a while.
No, I called him several times.
All right, right around the corner this way, okay? All right, so step on in here, and you got nothing either.
That's okay. I'm satisfied.
Why?
Because he didn't deserve to get his money back after disappearing for 3 months, so.
You understand it was month to month,
yes.
Right? Anyway, so you can't sue for more than one anyhow.
Yes.
Harvey?
Okay, if you are renting an apartment or you own something where you're leasing something out, I am telling you, you need to document all of your transactions between the two in writing, in emails or text. Have a paper record, something to prove what's what.